So, several weeks ago, another aspect of mikvah came to me, and it's like, okay, I'll do that instead of what I normally do. And about a week after that, the thought just went away. It's like, uh-oh. Yeah. 3 weeks ago, I'm thinking, what was it I was going to share? And it's just like, can't remember.
Oh, dear.
Wake up this morning. Things start coming back.
Oh. Right.
So, this wasn't planned, but it fits into everything that we've been doing over the summer. Because we've been talking about life and Torah and aspects of life in relation to Torah. So today, it's life, mikvah, and Torah. Oh. So over the years at our picnic in mikvah, I have shared with you the origins of mikvah from before time began, that is in Genesis 1-2, that the earth was unformed and void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water. And that the Spirit of God who hovered over the surface of the water was the image, an illusion of Messiah, for this is referenced in the Talmud, the oral law, the tradition of the elders, the aspect of traditional Judaism, and that they are so close to realizing who Messiah is, yet they are so far away still. For the foundation of mikvah, I have included the teaching in the notes that you'll be able to look at online. But today I want to focus on what did transpire with Yochanan the Immerser, what he was doing and why. For he was questioned by the Pharisees, for word came back to them that this person in the wilderness is immersing people and spouting some crazy statement. It was during those days Yochanan the Immerser arrived in the desert of Judah and began proclaiming the message, turn from your sins to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So the kingdom is near. What could this voice in the wilderness know that the Pharisees, who sit on the seat of Moses, don't already know? We must investigate. Who is this man they're curious about? For in John chapter 1, verse 19, here is Yochanan's testimony. When the Judeans sent Kohanim and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He was very straightforward and stated clearly, I am not the Messiah. Then who are you? They asked him. Are you Eliyahu? Are you Elijah? No, I am not, he said. Are you the prophet, the one we're expecting? No, he replied. So they said to him, who are you? So that we can give an answer to the people who sent us. What do you have to say for yourself? And he answered them with these words from the prophet Isaiah. He said, I am the voice of someone crying in the wilderness. Make the way of Adonai straight. So of those who had been sent were Pharisees. So the Pharisees knew of this verse, yet were not prepared for the fullness of the verse confronting them head on. For Yochanan did not admit to being Elijah, the one who was to come before Messiah. Malachi 3. Look, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and terrible day of Adonai. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with complete destruction. Yet we'll learn later from Yeshua that if you truly understand, Yochanan came in the spirit of Elijah, not the physical manifestation, who is to return, for he did not experience death, and we are all to experience death. Yochanan was not him. He was not the prophet whom Adonai revealed to Moses, who spoke about to the people, I will raise up for you a prophet like you, like Moses, from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. Whoever doesn't listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, will have to account for himself to me. And finally, he is not Messiah. Yochanan is not Messiah, the anointed one who is to come and deliver the Jewish people based on the many promises made through Moses and the prophets. Yochanan was none of them. Yet the leaders of Judah still wondered, if you are neither Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet, then why are you immersing people? key question. Why are you immersing people? The Pharisees had an immense understanding of immersion, that is mikveh. And thus, if Yochanan was none of those people, why was he doing this? So why are you doing this? To understand his actions, we must first understand the act. Many of you are familiar with the act of baptism from a church perspective. For the word, the Greek word baptism, is obviously the source of the English word baptize or Baptist. Its root meaning to dip, soak, or immerse into a liquid so that what is dipped takes on qualities of what it has been dipped in, for example, cloth in dye, leather in tanning solution. Thus, based on the Greek word, an interpretation was being made, and thus poetic license was being utilized, to where we witness different denominations doing different things. However, as I have shared before, much tends to get lost in translation. In this case, the Hebrew to Greek. For the Greek to English, the essence has already been lost. And I can understand what the priests were like when they were at the altar. But to understand what baptizin means, the Greek word, here one needs the Jewish background. According to Torah, one had to be ritually pure before entering the tabernacle or the temple. Ritual purity could be lost in many ways. The preeminent means of restoring it was through washing. A quick review of Leviticus shows how frequently the matter is mentioned. And one of the six major divisions of the Talmud, Taharot, which deals with cleansings, is devoted to it. Even though there is no longer a temple, observant Jewish women immerse themselves in mikveh after each of their menstrual periods in obedience with Leviticus 15. For in 15:13 it says, when a person with a discharge has become free of it, he is to count 7 days for his purification. Then he is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water. After that, he will be clean. For a person who immerses himself participates in an obvious yet living metaphor of purification, with the water, as it were, washing away the impurity. Here, Yochanan the immerser proclaims, for of the old practice of immersion, a new context, cleansing from a life pattern of sin. A new context, yet an old practice, for the intent of immersion was part of restoring one who was deemed ritually unclean. That is, there was an impediment they had incurred that prevented them from approaching Adonai and the temple or the Mishkan in order to bring their offerings and sacrifices. So in other words, you could not bring an offering and sacrifice if you were ritually unclean at the time. Thus, their path was impeded by impurity. For anyone with a discharge was considered to be ritually unclean and thus required to separate themselves and at the time deemed to go through mikveh. And as I read this earlier, Leviticus 15:13, when a person with a discharge has become free of it, he is to count 7 days for his purification. Then he is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water. After that, he will be clean. Or they have become impure through what's known as sa'aretz, which is typically translated as leprosy, but is not the leprosy as we understand it today. For we read in Leviticus 14, the Kohen is to order one of the birds slaughtered in the clay pot over running water. As for the live bird, he is to take it with the cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop, and dip the living bird in the blood of the bird slaughtered over running water, and sprinkle the person to be purified from the sa'aret 7 times. Next, he is to set the live bird free in an opening. So that's the practice within the temple. Yet the verse to pay attention to, he who is to be purified must wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water. Then he will be clean. And after that, he may enter the camp, but he must live outside the camp for 7 days. So Leviticus 14:8 again. He who is to be purified must wash his clothes, shave off his hair, and bathe himself in water. Then he will be clean. And after that, he may enter the camp, but he must live outside his tent for 7 days. So today, traditional Judaism has developed its own theology of Christian baptism. perhaps because of a form of baptism, is required at the point when a non-Jewish person converts to Judaism. The latter has traditionally understood Christian baptism to be the moment when a Jew removes himself from the Jewish community and adopts a religion alien to or even in opposition to Judaism and the Jewish people. Because of these false associations, which have become attached to the word baptism in the Jewish community, the New Testament uses the more accurate word immersion. So when you read David Stern's translation, he will use immersion as opposed to baptism. So what was Yohanan doing if he wasn't converting peoples to Judaism? For the audience before Yohanan was descendants of Israel. They were his brethren. He was transforming them and thus preparing them for the kingdom of Adonai. He was preparing them for the appearance of the king who would come to serve his people first, showing them what the kingdom is and how we can be part of it. For what was not fully revealed by Yeshua yet, but was done in practice by Yohanan, was the presence of life in the water. For I have shared with you in the past these verses from Genesis 2, 6, and 7. Rather, a mist went up from the earth, which watered the entire surface of the ground. Then Adonai, God, formed a person from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being. The water of verse 6 is required when Adonai breathed life into Adam, for it was Adonai's breath that made the water alive in us. Thus Yohanan is preparing the nation for their encounter with that living water. For we read in John 7:37, "Now on the last days of the festival of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Yeshua stood and cried, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking. Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being.' On hearing his words, some people in the crowd said, 'Surely this man is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Messiah.' Thus living water must flow. Thus a true mikveh is one where water is moving and not stagnant. The Dead Sea is stagnant, for there is no inflow or outflow. The Jordan River is flowing. It was moving. It was alive. Thus Yeshua, the river of living water that flows through us in the form of his Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh, brings forth life, life in the Spirit, empowered, vibrant, and alive. The question one posed to Yohanan, 'Who are you?' is now answered, and thus the person for Yohanan's action in immersing people, as was done during his time, understood by the Pharisees, and the people now has a more comprehensive understanding. For in John 1:29, the next day Yohanan saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, 'Look, God's Lamb, the one who is taking away the sin of the world. This is the man I was talking about when I said, after me is coming someone who has come to rank above me because he existed before me. I myself did not know who he was, but the reason I came immersing with water was that so he might be made known to Israel.' Then Yohanan gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I myself did not know who he was, but the one who sent me to immerse in water said to me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. For it is the living water that restores us from ritual impurity. That is separation from Adonai, for it is Yeshua, the living water, that as in Leviticus is the final act needed to restore us to Adonai. Thus Yohanan was preparing the people for the one who would be the restorer, the reconciler, and the redeemer." So you have a better understanding, not just of what mikveh is, but of why Yohanan was doing it. He was preparing the people. He was preparing the people for Yeshua. He was preparing the people as Elijah was to prepare the people and had spoken about such things. So today. I don't know if anyone else is desiring to do this in addition to Sonia. If not, Sonia,